Jets. You'd be proud of this game, and you can do a great deal for football today. Great deal for all the players and the league and everything else.
Oh, I see him looking. I'm closing.
I was born in it. Molded by it.
Yeah, so they got to wake up with a piss out.
You're talking about Rasul.
Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog. Big dog, big dog. When you listen to the Poor Man's Packers podcast, go Pack Go.
Good night, man. I'm so excited. Let's roll.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers podcast, the one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, and joined this week, we have a very, very incredibly special guest, a new guest. Andrew, very, very busy. He had dinner plans that he wasn't aware of ahead of time, so he is out this week. So instead, we have a fantastic friend of mine, Todd. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, hey, that's Todd with two D's also.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Not a one D Todd.
Yep, doesn't matter because I'm still saying Todd, but yes, thank you. Todd, you are a Packer fan, correct?
Yeah, that would be correct.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, we're buddies. We've gone to a couple games together. We went to the Giants regular season game that we beat them, and then we were at...
Cowboys?
Oh, the Cowboys. Maybe it was just the Cowboys game.
It was Cowboys and Redskins games, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They were the Redskins back then, too. The Haskins game where
since it's historical, we can say Redskins.
yes, it is allowed right now. But we were... More importantly, at the Aaron Rodgers broken collarbone game at US Bank Stadium. That really sucked. But
Yeah, what a highlight.
Yeah, you speaking of highlights, you probably had a couple highlights because you were a little drunk for that game, which is probably a good thing for how that one went.
Yeah, I think, you know, when did the broken collarbone happen?
Second quarter.
Yeah, I was pretty tuned up at that point, and then from there on it was just
Yeah.
Yeah, the drinks were flowing.
I still remember, like, US Bank, you know, one of the newer stadiums. Like, they had a very cool graphic pop up on the scoreboard. Aaron Rodgers out, broken collarbone, and it had, like, a cookie cutter x-ray picture of his broken collarbone. I was like, yeah, this is just fucking awesome. Thanks, guys.
That was the first time, I think that was the first time we played there, too?
No, it was the second or third time, maybe. The first time we also lost, but... Yeah, either way, wasn't very good. That was like the first Davante Adams game, though. That was the passing of the torch game from Jordy to Devontae. Oh. But, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Very important. But
fun.
Getting back to more important things this year, the incredible year we're having, the Packers won. I'm sure everyone remembers, won 28-19. We are now an incredible 5-8, still somehow alive. And I guess with the way playoffs are going, too, or... the way the schedule is, we still will be alive even after the bye week, no matter what happens. So very fun stuff. The most winning team in the NFL now, too. We'll talk about that later a little bit. But we'll have our normal episode. Todd, you've listened to the podcast from time to time, so you get the gist of what we're doing here.
I got a feel for it. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. We'll have an offense breakdown, defense breakdown a little bit, the pick six before that, the Lynn Lake pick six. We did watch the game there I did with Billy, who's been on the pod before. Finally broke the curse of every game we had been there for, we lost. So it was nice to write that ship. But
if you watched every game there this year, the odds would still be in favor of us losing. So
I guess
got that to work with.
Yeah, being 1-2 at Lynn Lake Brewing is pretty on par for the season. But we'll have take news, a little Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers future stuff, and something that I picked up on, which I sent to you too, and we'll get into, is what Jason Wilde thinks of the situation, which would be a bigger story if he wanted it to be, I think. But we'll have take news talking about that. We'll have Is Kyle an Idiot? Some Packers trivia. And then we'll send things off since it's a bye week after this. So with that, pick six.
Pick six. Pick six. Pick six.
Yeah! All right, the first Lynn Lake pick six. Play of the week. Once again, Lynn Lake Brewing in Uptown Minneapolis. If you need a place to get a drink, go to Lynn Lake. They do have some very good beer, much better than the now deceased competitor of the Herkimer. And if you want to watch the Packer game, that's a great place to watch. It was awesome to be there on Sunday.
Quick question. What do we think about their appetizers? Do they have any good, like a pretzel or anything fun?
So we went with Shane and our buddy Zim and Billy, who's been on the podcast. We all watched the game there. Shane got the cheese curds. They were very good. Billy ate a lot of his cheese curds. Billy had a few beers, and he was really munching on the cheese curds. I don't know what kind of conversation was had, if they were sharing them. But I got a burger, the burgers there are really, really good. Like, surprisingly good for a place that's just kind of, you know, you'd think as a brewery. So
full kitchen, then. If they got burgers, they got everything.
They have a smaller, you know, brewery menu. But, yes, absolutely no complaints. I love that place. But
awesome.
Yeah. The first pick six play, something that is not awesome. You know, the first big play to shape the game, Justin Fields, the 56-yard touchdown run. Very, very fun right out the gate with 3 minutes left in the first quarter. Made it 10-0, which was an improvement from the previous week against the Eagles when it was 14-0 after, or 13-0 after 5 minutes, I believe. But yeah, pretty shitty play. Nixon missed the tackle that should have been one in the backfield. Quay bit on the run and was looking in the opposite direction, and Adrian Amos did his best ha-ha run into the blocker play. And, yeah, Justin Fields scurried for that 58-yard tutty. I'd like to get pissed at Joe Barry for it, but this is one of those where it really just seemed like the guys on
I mean,
the
Nixon was there.
Right.
Right? Like, right. He's right there to make the play. Would have been better if Quay was also on that side of the field, but... I mean, Nixon was right there. That's not, I mean, as I like to blame Joe Barry too. That's one of my favorite things.
But yes.
On this one, that's kind of a, your guy's there.
Not good when you get the screen grab that I think Matt Schneidman put out where Quay is literally facing the opposite direction of Justin Fields. But it was one of those where, you know, very demoralizing at the start, but they did kind of right this ship and get their shit together after that. But moving on, the next pick six play. I believe the score was still 10-0 or 10-3 at this point. This was the 4th and 8 after Azul forced the fumble. Packers get the ball back, you know, in decent field position. We're going for it on 4th and 8, which seems like the largest down and distance we've gone for it this year when we didn't have
to. What yard line were we at?
We were in Bears territory. We were on their 42, I believe.
Okay.
So, yeah, went for it. I mean, I guess it's fine not to punt it, but... Aaron Rodgers goes deep to Randall Cobb, and it falls incomplete. What do you know? Not a lot of room on that play either which way. And I feel like for whatever reason, I mean, it was more so the third down plays, but it popped off on Twitter again where everyone's like, third and one or fourth and one, whatever. Rodgers just going for everything. And it's like, he's been doing this his whole fucking career. I don't know why we're just bitching about it again now.
Yeah, you shouldn't be surprised that Rodgers not going to try and hit a home run on 3rd and 1. I mean, it's been the case for the last 10 years, so.
Yeah, so whatever. I guess some noob fans didn't get that or all this, the really fun like NFL meme accounts, but I digress. Either way, it's still not a very great play, you know, in the first half of that game. So moving on, first play after the turnover on downs, which this is just another great example of the 2022 Green Bay Packers complimentary football. Turnover on downs. First play after that, Fields goes deep and hits EQ, who burnt the shit out of Jair Alexander. Yeah. The very next play after that, David Montgomery breaks 3 tackles pretty much and scores, making it 3-16. Not good. And right after this, apparently a couple beat reporters tweeted this out, that the Bears fans started chanting, "Green Bay sucks."
That's creative.
Yeah, I mean, it still kind of has the same ring to it as the Bears still suck at the right amount of syllables there. So,
I mean, we're not expecting a lot of creativity from Chicago, but I mean,
on par,
I guess.
Yeah, from the fans or on offense or defense. But yeah, not very good. Shaping things up a little shitty right before a little bit going into halftime. But moving on to the next pick six play, a 4th and 4 Packers ball, 17 seconds left in the half. 4th and 4, Rodgers rolls out and finally in the red zone finding someone. Finds Christian Watson, catches it, touchdown, makes it 10-16. Especially with how, I mean, obviously Watson is the talk of Green Bay right now, aside from all the drama for what could be with Rodgers and shit. But once again, for a guy who started the season with that drop and his hands were suspect there on out, to just be a sure-handed guy, I think this is a couple weeks in a row where he's had receptions on 4th down and this being a touchdown. It's like the transformation of Christian Watson is unbelievable, and obviously we'll get into his stats and shit later, but we really needed that touchdown going into halftime, and so making it 10-16 was pretty big.
Yeah, Watson's quite the big play guy, but it is fun. You know, I think, what was it, a couple weeks ago he had that catch. It was kind of a jump ball over the corner in the back left corner of the end zone.
Yep, yep.
So he's had a couple of these nice red zone plays, you know, with it being a scramble play, that one I reference being, you know, more of a jump ball play. But he's not just a fast guy, right? Like, he can do other things, which is really fun to see. It'll be interesting a couple years down the road when the route tree kind of opens up for him and he can, you know, do more damage from different places. That'll be really fun to watch.
Well, that's the thing that they're saying too, is like, his route tree is a little more defined than we think it is. And even on that one too, like you said, you know, it wasn't a jump up ball, but it was one of those where if that were MVS there, I don't think he would have had the concentration because it was almost off the fingertips of the defender. Like, it did kind of just sneak in there. But I mean, he had a third down, third and seven reception too, where kind of close too. So it's nice to be thinking less and less about his hands. You know, the big question with him was his hands, and I'd say his health coming into the season. But already, I mean, I'm feeling like he's better than MVS as far as his hands go. Not like that's saying much, but MVS was with us for four freaking years. So,
yeah, the health does seem a little bit, I mean, it does seem a little bit scary. It seemed like for a while there, he was just, anytime he got hit, he was getting banged up at the beginning of the season. And I think he was banged up in preseason too, right?
That was the big thing, yeah, because, you know, all offseason, well, most of the offseason and early in the season was like, Romeo Dubs, but that's because Watson was fucking on the bench for pretty much all of training camp. That's the other, I mean, obviously all the records and the comparisons with Randy Moss are very impressive, but for a rookie, we've seen so many rookies have their rookie seasons derailed by injuries, and for him to miss a good chunk of the first half of the season and now come in and have this type of run he's having only makes it even more incredible. So, moving on.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Yeah. The next pick six play, after an A.J. Dillon touchdown and a go-ahead field goal, the Packers are up 20-19 in the fourth. Bears get the ball back with 5 minutes left, which I'm watching at the brewery, and I'm like, we're fucked. Yep. Like, this defense has been fucking, all they need is a field goal to go ahead. So, Bears get the ball. They're on the Packers 43 with 3 minutes left. Fields drops back, throws a comeback route to EQ, who, what do you know, runs a very lazy route. Jair finally makes a play, jumps in front of it, picks it off, and game not totally closed up cinch there, but...
But some life. We had some life again.
Yes.
And like, in my head anyway, it's not like we didn't have life, but like, same feeling as you, where it's like, we get to the end of the game, okay, you got 5 minutes. Okay, they're going to drive for 4.5 minutes.
Yes.
Put some points on the board, and then we're going to be stuck trying to scramble at the end.
Yep, 3 minutes left. I think the Bears still had all their timeouts, and we were up the 1 point. So, felt pretty good there. You know, it was like, okay, cool. We're going to win this game. But then, moving on to the next pick six play. First play after the two-minute warning. Packers at midfield, and they finally run the jet sweep and actually give it to Christian Watson. What do you know? He runs 46 yards for the touchdown. Packers pick up the 2-point conversion of Big Dog, making it 28-19. But fuck, man, he's so
fast.
He's so fucking good. Like, you might have seen this too. Post game, I believe both LaFleur and Rodgers talked about this. But during the 2-minute warning, like TV timeout, LaFleur gave him the play call, and Rodgers was like, "Do you want Christian to score?" And LaFleur was like, "Well, what do you mean?" And Rodgers like, "Well, do you want him to score? Because he's like, he's going to score on this play." Sure as shit, he did. Ran in, and the other positive from this play, Sammy Watkins lead blocking on it.
Nice block, yeah.
Pretty funny to see him too, because they are right next to each other. You know, Watson's 5 yards away towards the sideline, and once Watson, this is on the 40-yard line, once Watson passes him, Sammy's immediately just fucking windmilling his arm because he knows it's a score. And the fucking defender had an angle on him too, and Watson was still able to outrun him. I think the next generation stats or whatever the hell it is on ESPN clocked Watson. That's the third fastest play from
this year,
and the top two guys are like tiny fast dudes, and Watson's like fucking 6'4", so pretty incredible for a guy that big to run that fucking fast.
Well, I watched because every week they have, like, it must be Next Gen Stats or whatever it is, but they have like the top five Next fastest Gen, players for the week.
Yep.
And I was like, start watching or whatever, and I was assuming he would be in there because he's really fast, but he doesn't look like he's moving as fast as he is.
Mm-hmm.
Top four, or the five through four, or sorry, five through two, were all under 21 miles an hour, and Christian Watson was at 21.72 or something like that.
Yeah, right. He's getting that 21. Yeah, it's weird. It's because, and that's what it is with these fast guys. It's like you said, it's effortless. It's like the lower body is just fucking, the strides are so wide when the top is doing nothing. It kind of, not the same thing, but it's almost like how Ryan Grant ran and Arian Foster, where their legs were just such these long strides. And
yeah,
I can't wait to see more from, I mean, just the fucking jet sweep shit, where that was the only time he ran it that entire game. And first time we had in a few games, I feel like, too. So either way,
I mean, it's not a play that you hit all the time, right? But
yeah,
when you hit it, and especially the way that the action was working earlier in the game with AJ Dillon, where they were running Christian Watson on the jet sweep, and then, you know, Dillon on the backside, it was working pretty well. So nice play.
Well, that's, I have that written down for the running backs too, because watching with Billy too, and we're, because we ran the jet sweep a few times, or at least had Watson do the motion.
Yep.
And it, we finally, of course, finally handed off, and what do you know, it was a touchdown. But it's, Aaron Jones is banged up at the end of the game, didn't get it too much. But if we can just start running this shit more, where we do that quick toss to Aaron Jones in one direction, and Watson going, when you have the two best skill position players on your offense running in different directions at the snap of the ball, like what the fuck do you expect the defense to do? So I don't know why we haven't been running this shit more. I mean, Watson's first touchdown of his career was on the jet sweep. So I'm, you know, it sucks that the season's pretty kaput, but it's hard not to get excited for that type of speed and those type of guys running this offense.
Is quick question. I know we've had a lot of success lately too out of the double back set. Do we typically run a jet motion out of the double back set too? I feel like we don't.
Well,
that
no.
would be interesting to put that in there with the two backs would be kind of fun.
Yeah, I think we did it a little bit more this game. I can't remember off the top of my head, but that was kind of the issue with running it early this year, because it wasn't like we'd have the one guy run like a little bubble screen and then the other was just kind of a run option. And now we're starting to do a little bit more with it, because, you know, it's kind of tough to, well, having the two backs there too, but with the read option, you're kind of fucked with Rodgers, because, you know, a third of the option there is out of the way. So,
Yep.
But yeah, moving on to breaking down the offense. Once again, what was the score? 28-19, 29. Yeah, 28-19. Whatever.
28-19. Yeah.
Yeah, we won the game. But starting off with Aaron Rodgers, not the best game from him. Probably one of his worst games of the year, actually. 18 for 31, 182 yards, one touchdown. A couple really bad balls. The deep one to Cobb, I thought, was a fine ball. It seemed like Cobb kind of lost it.
Yeah, it was a little bit of like a jump ball where the defender was at too. It's like,
yeah,
but I don't love the Cobb on a jump ball either. Like that just doesn't seem too advantageous.
Right. Yeah. And it seemed like he almost lost the ball in the air with that one. So I don't know. And the worst one was that little throw out to the side. That was one of the worst throws of Rodgers' career. Where
I don't know, where was that ball going? It was like 10 yards over his head.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those, it's funny, you know, when someone runs the wrong route, Rodgers gets all fucking pissed off, and then literally he throws a terrible ball. He looks at Cobb and he literally goes, like, shrugs his shoulder.
What if Cobb did the Rodgers to him? Like, come on, dude. Like, you get, and like, F-bombs and all that fun stuff.
That
like,
would have been, I wonder how he would have reacted, but I don't know. It would be nice. It'd be funny to see, like,
Thanksgiving at Aaron's house, maybe. That's probably would be the downside.
Yeah, well, it would be funny to see like Christian Watson pull that shit. Like whose offense is this really now?
Yeah.
Big
thing. I don't know about that.
Yeah. But not a great game from him. He did say post game that he didn't think the thumb affected him too much. And he does think that after the bye week that the thumb and the rib should be fine. Like he thinks it won't be an issue, which is a little hard to believe. It did come out like a week or two ago that it's like a broken thumb, but part of it is like the bone is attached to a ligament or some shit. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But
I thought it's from what I had heard, it sounded like that was going to linger through the entire season.
And right.
That's what I thought. I mean, who knows?
I don't know if it's just Rodgers saying shit so that, you know, he'll keep playing or still has that.
Sure.
I don't know. You don't want to make excuses.
Yep.
Moving on to running backs. Great game from A.J. Dillon. 18 carries, 93 yards. The one touchdown, he had an average of 5.2 yards. He also had three receptions for 26 yards, which is nice to see. Mm-hmm. He's been, especially in years past, he's been very productive in the pass game, and we really lost that midseason and early on this year. He credited his great game with his dad's strength. I don't know if you saw that, but
him
and his fiance or wife announced that they are expecting. He did the little rock the baby celebration after. Apparently at the locker room post game, he said he made a deal with his wife last week that if he scored three touchdowns, he could do the rock the baby celebration as the announcement, because they announced it, you know, afterwards and all that.
But, sure. Okay.
Yeah, didn't happen. But the other really exciting thing, and this is once again just how low the season's been, the third and one where we had Aaron Jones as the actual running back right behind Rodgers, and then AJ lined up as a fullback, and we actually handed it off to him on a third and one and got the first down. I'm like, I think that's the first time. It's like the second time this year he's lined up as a fullback, but I think it's the first time we actually gave it to him. I'm like, why don't we fucking do this more? You're lining him up as Super John Cool.
Well, listen, why would you want your big, strong running back closer to the line of scrimmage when the defense doesn't have a chance to, you know, get off their blocks and hit him? You know?
Yeah,
you don't want that. You want to get him in the gun, and you want to toss it to him laterally. Get him moving left and right. You know?
In a short yardage situation, yeah.
Yes.
That's the one thing. Like, I need to stop, because I've been bitching about it so much this year on Twitter, where I need to stop. I don't know why LaFleur keeps doing it. Even last week, like, Tom Silverstein brought it up. Like, why are you running A.J. Dillon out of shotgun? You're not really playing to his strength. So we're a little bit better this week. I think we did run it out of shotgun once with A.J. Dillon, and we got stoned for it. So I don't know. Either way, more good than bad. So I don't have
too much to
worry
about. I'm fine with it here and there, right? Like, and honestly, occasionally, as much as I cringe every time I see it, but when they do the little toss to him out on the outside, and once he cuts and gets north and south, like,
right,
I feel better about it. But, like, it works every now and then. But, like, how many times have we done that? It's third and one, or we're on the goal line and we're running out of gun. It's like, just
it's
maybe just line up and make them. They know what we're going to do. We know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Put A.J. Dillon in there, get Aaron under center, and just run it. Just see if he can beat whoever's in front of him.
It shouldn't be this hard. It's like we're making it too hard for us. There shouldn't be inside handoffs out of shotgun and short yard situation. If we run it and it's fucking, you know, 5 yards or so, I don't give a shit. As long as it's not third and short, I don't care.
Right. No, I agree.
Yeah. Aaron Jones, fine game. Well, not the best game for him. 9 rushes, 26 yards, 2.9 yards per carry. He had 5 receptions for 24 yards. Got a little banged up, and again, I've been saying it all year, all for his whole career, pretty much. No one takes more awkward and painful-looking hits than Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
LaFleur was asked about it post-game, about how he was holding up or that injury, and LaFleur said that they could have put him back in. Talking with Ben Sermons, the running back coach, they were just trying to limit him to the two back sets in the fourth quarter, so after the bye week, he should be good to go. But yeah, again, I'd like to see more of the jet sweep shit with him, getting him and Watson going in opposite directions. The only other thing I think to talk about with Aaron Jones for this week is the first iteration of the Pro Bowl voting kind of came out. He is right now the 8th running back. I don't know. I think the voting is different. I don't know if that's just NFC or NFL total, but I feel like if someone on this team should make the Pro Bowl, it's probably him. But if nothing else, he was nominated for the second year in a row for the Packers for the NFL Man of the Year. And I really hope he gets that, because fuck, we're just fans, we're losers, all that shit, but God, he really does seem like the best fucking dude.
Oh yeah, he seems like a high-class guy. I mean, everybody, every time there's like a Monday night game or something like that, the announcers are always talking about how he's a yes sir, yes ma'am, whatever. But
yeah,
even outside of that, all anybody ever has to say about him is they're positive things. So
yeah,
he does seem like he really makes an impact too in the community, which is great.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens with him next year. Obviously, still we've been saying all year that he's the best player on offense, and I don't know if that's true anymore. But either
he's
way,
so dynamic.
Yeah. I mean, he really can do a little bit of it. If he would have caught that ball last week from Jordan Love, I'd feel, you know, that's about the only hole in his game so far this year. Patrick Taylor, he had one carry for 6 yards. Nice to see him.
Explosive.
Yeah, I mean,
he looks good.
He looked kind of like A.J. Dillon almost, ran right up the middle, got the yards, kind of like the one carry Kylan Hill had this year, one carry for 7 yards. And I don't want to say I want to see more of him, but you feel kind of bad being it's almost like being the backup quarterback when Brett Favre was around. It's like being the third running back with A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. You're not going to see a bunch of playing time.
How does that work, too, with him coming up and down from the practice squad all the time? Like, I feel like he's been raised up and put – what are the rules now with that?
Yep.
He keep coming up and down?
Yeah, it's funny you ask that because I actually tweeted Ken Ingles last week about it. So I believe this year – so when you're on the practice squad, you can get pulled up to the 53-man roster 3 times. So you can – so that's what they did, and then after that, you're on the practice squad. You can't get called up again. However, after we cut Kylan Hill, we moved Patrick Taylor to the 53. So he was, you know, an actual NFL player at that point. That was for the Titans game. So he was on the 53 one game, suited up one game. Then we cut him again. We cut him. Goes through waivers. Oh. He's back on the practice squad.
Right.
So now, and this is what I asked Ken, does that reset after your cut? And yes, it does. So now he can get called up 2 more times to the active roster while being on the practice squad.
Is that a strategy that the front office would employ? Is that why they cut him?
Yes. I think it saves you a roster spot. You know, they keep fucking, they have the defensive tackle from Miami who's been on the roster all year, who hasn't suited up once, who is a draft pick. You know, he's been on the 53 all year, hasn't suited up once. Patrick Taylor suited up like 6 times now, and he's only been on the 53 for one of those games. So we'll see. I think it's a little bit of a money saving. I don't know how to dive into that, but I think you save a little bit of cash by doing that as well. Moving on to wide receiver, Christian Watson is good. We've talked about a lot. The jet sweep play was fucking stupid. He's super fast. 8 touchdowns in 4 games. Every week we seem to see another record he ties or breaks with Randy Moss or other Hall of Famers, which is fucking crazy. He has more touchdowns this season than a bunch of guys, including Justin Jefferson, and he has just as many rushing touchdowns as Aaron Jones, which is pretty funny. The other thing that I like to see out of his game this week, and I think maybe last week, was he took the braids out of his hair, and now he's got that afro going on.
Oh,
I like the afro look. It's a little
pretty cool.
Braids wasn't great. The afro looks pretty fucking cool, especially him.
Okay.
A nice tan suit. He might have had some chains, but then the dark sunglasses and the afro was a very wide receiver one type look. So
was it like a 70s, 80s look? Was it like
a little Starsky and Hutch, I would say. Okay. Yeah, he had some of that sway going on. Moving on, Alan Lazard, he had a fine game too. I guess I could say Christian Watson's stats. He did have just how many catches do you think he had in this game?
Alan Lazard?
Christian Watson.
Oh, how many catches?
Or receptions? Three, yeah. Not much.
Three?
Just the three and the one run. And it's still...
was one of them the hand... Was it one of those... Did he...
I know...
The way he handed off?
No, it was... That was a handoff.
That was a handoff.
It was one... Yeah. One rush for 46 yards for a 46-yard average, which was pretty good.
Because that's what, like, when you look at Aaron Jones' stats, too, half the time, it's like, well... Those receptions were actually really runs.
Yes.
You know,
I think I've said it before, too. Like, when LaFleur came over, he was like, hey, if you should buy into this offense because I'm going to give you a bunch of passing touchdowns where you're just, like, throwing it forward 1 yard to Aaron Jones to pad those stats. But, yeah, Alan Lazard, he was actually the leading receiver in this game. 5 receptions, 63 yards. Just fine. I still, you know, don't love Alan Lazard.
He had one ugly drop, I feel like, in the middle of the field. Was that a third down drop too?
Yeah, I can't remember for sure, but I do remember being very upset with him at one point. So I will not agree. I do believe that did happen. Randall Cobb, not a great game. 4 targets, no receptions. Obviously had the one weird play in the end zone. I think he might have had another drop too. And then Sammy Watkins, no targets, was the lead blocker on both the rushing touchdowns, and he only had 7 snaps. That's the one thing. Now, it's like if you're watching tape as an opposing team, if you see Sammy Watkins on the field, it's like, okay, they're going to run this direction. So
yeah,
probably
it's like kind of the Lazard role from years past, too, where it's like, well, are they going to throw it to him? Possibly, but they're going to run that way.
That's the thing. Like if you see Big Dog and Watkins on one side,
on the same side, yeah.
It's like, okay, I think we know what's going on here. And Samari Toure, too, his first reception since the Lions game. So that was fine to see, too. The one reception, 7 yards. Not much to talk about at tight end. Tonyan had the one catch for 10 yards. Big Dog got the two-point conversion, which was nice to see. He hasn't done a lot this year.
Right.
The offensive line, David Bakhtiari obviously had the emergency appendectomy on Friday.
Appendectomy.
Yeah.
God, that, not a doctor. I don't know.
I Googled it after, and I think that's why, like, the first time, like, I wrote it in my notes, and the red squiggle didn't even give me, like, any suggestion. So that's how far off I was trying to come up with
that.
And
that happens.
Do you know how big your appendix is?
I thought it's like a little knob.
It's the size of your finger. I would have thought it was like at least the size of a golf ball, but I guess it's actually just that small. So
yeah, I guess it's like just this little tiny knob that hangs off of your, I don't know.
You're a little diddly there. Yeah, so we'll see if he'll be back after the bye. Apparently it does take a little bit longer to come back, and he is a bigger dude and pretty physical position, so we'll see. But Zach Thomas,
he's never out for injury, so I'm sure it'll be fine.
Right, yeah. That's the other great joke that I had where, man, for a team this year that has been playing without guts, it really fits the mold for the season, yeah.
You know, unfair for us to bash him about an appendix injury,
but here
ACLs
we are.
ACLs took 3 years, so I don't know.
Yeah. But Zach Tom did start in his place at left tackle, played very well. I mean, overall, in this game, no sacks given up by either team, and the Packers gave up zero QB hits. Rodgers postgame said he said he did hit the ground once, but there wasn't a QB hit registered. But Zach Tom, once again, really good, especially for a fucking rookie coming in and starting at left tackle on 3 days' notice. I think he only gave up the one pressure, but saw this online too. He is the highest pass blocking efficiency for any of the rookie offensive linemen this year, which is pretty good. And
how many does he have? A good amount of snaps? He played guard now and then, didn't he? I mean,
yeah, I don't know how many snaps he has on the season, but he has 3 starts at left tackle now, and he played 1.5 games at guard. So I don't know. We'll see what he turns into, because literally, I wouldn't be surprised if he, especially with what's going on with Elton Jenkins and him being in a contract year, I wouldn't be surprised if if Zach Tom started at either tackle, guard, or even center next year with the way Myers has been playing too. So.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. With that is all I have for offense. We will have a quick commercial break.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
All right, we are back with the defense. Defense, once again, I don't know.
We have to talk about the defense? Do you
ever skip? I mean,
we have to.
There was enough to talk about. I mean,
just blah.
The number one guy to talk about for this defense in this game, and it pretty much encapsulates this whole season, Jaire Alexander, still having a really weird year, got burnt by EQ, got burnt by N'Keal Harry, who was a first-round pick for the Patriots, and they trade him away for pretty much nothing. Got burnt by both of those guys, but then obviously had kind of the game sealing interception. Yeah, he did post game in the locker room. He called EQ a scrub. I don't know if you saw that. He was pretty upset that he got beat by a scrub, is what he said. And then
I saw that he then later. Well, are we sure he was talking about EQ? Maybe he was talking about Harry.
Yeah, I wasn't there for his locker availability, but they did make it sound like he was talking about EQ, which is, I don't know, a little. I really do like Jaire.
He texted him though.
Yeah, he
you
did.
Saw that.
Yep.
He texted him and said sorry.
He texted EQ after, and EQ said like, yeah, he texted me, apologized, and you know, it is what it is. It didn't sound like EQ was like, oh, everything's good. I know he was joking.
Yeah.
Like, okay, maybe I don't want to look like a complete fucking douchebag, but
right, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I like him having that mentality as being a number one corner, but in a season where you're 5-8 and you got burnt twice by scrubs, I can say because I'm a stupid fan, not very good to see some of those sellies. But did you see what the other thing he said post game too, with in the locker room or at halftime?
No.
Ryan Wood tweeted this out. Jair Alexander on early struggles today versus Bears. Quote, I don't know what was going on. I was too zen out for a minute. They came in here. They came in here to the locker room at halftime. They yelled at me. They said, it was your fault. You gave up that long pass. I said, all right, cool. So a very Jair quote.
Yeah, I guess I don't. He was too zen out was his. That was why. Like, what does that mean? I don't know. Can't take the deep ball when you're zen out?
It's kind of like what Rasul Douglas said a couple of weeks ago, I think, going into the Titans game where he's like, yeah, if we lose, you can pretty much start making plans for the offseason. I think maybe that type of zen out, but I don't know. At least he was out of the zen when he made the pick, but either way, sure. not the best. Rasul Douglas had the forced fumble. That was pretty cool. That was pretty close, too. One of those where I'm glad they called it a fumble on the field. It was one of those if they didn't, I'm not sure it would have stood, but a little inconclusive. Yeah. Finally getting the call
going away.
Yeah,
it was inconclusive for sure.
And then keeping with the secondary, too, we're talking about guys kind of giving up. The two guys that clearly haven't, Keyshawn Nixon and Rudy Ford, which is weird. You know, the two guys who have the least amount of coaching with this staff seem to be playing the hardest and the best at this point. Keyshawn obviously had the missed tackle on the long run, but Keyshawn also had the pick at the very end to seal the game. And Rudy Ford, fun fact, he is officially the highest rated safety according to Pro Football Focus.
Really?
Yeah. So it'll be very interesting to see. I always talk about the offseason and next year way too much on these podcasts, but it'll be interesting to see what we do with the secondary this offseason, especially if we can hire a defensive coordinator with any ounce of creativity. We really haven't in ever. It seems like Joe Barry doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Mike Pettine has like cookie cutter roles and tries to get guys to fit those roles. And Dom Capers, I mean, we know how well he was able to adjust to, you know, Colin Kaepernick at times. So,
and we had the NASCAR package.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it was a pretty cool package.
What was that, like five linebackers or something?
God, I think it was even more than that. It was like one down lineman, and the rest were linebackers.
Yeah, it was something stupid like that. But yeah, I'd like to see us get a creative defensive coordinator. And maybe, I don't know, it gets me a little excited to think of having like Jair and Stokes as the outside corners, Nixon and Savage as the dime slash, or the slot slash dime safety, and then move Rasul to safety and maybe re-sign Rudy Ford. Rudy and Nixon will have their contracts up after this year, but I don't think they're going to cost too much. But either way, I don't know, they give us a little bit of hope in a season that hasn't had too much of it.
Yeah, it's great to see those guys performing well and on contracts that are pretty small, because a lot of our contracts are pretty busted here. So
yeah,
it'd be nice if we can lock those guys up for at least another year or two while we
draft
and develop or whatnot.
Right, whatever ends up happening this offseason. It's weird because, you know, we're saying that now, but at the same time, you know, the two guys where we said the exact same thing about last year was Devondre Campbell and Rasul Douglas, who have had, you know, I mean, Rasul hasn't been terrible. Right. He's been up and down. Devondre hasn't been great, but whatever. I'd rather have them than not, but we'll see if they bounce back next year with some new blood in the coaching staff. Inside linebacker, again, we were just hinting at it there. Devondre didn't have a great game. Looked pretty slow, but he did lead the team in tackles. Quay also didn't have a great game. We talked about it. He got beat on the Justin Fields long run, but later he did chase down Fields on the sideline, which was nice to see finally. They didn't exactly spy, but they had, when they had Devondre and Quay out on the field, they each had like a zone either left or right. So that did slow Justin Fields in the second half at least, which was nice to see. And
is it confirmed that they even did we do a spy? I mean, because with between against Jalen Hurts and then now against Fields, it's like I mean, Fields could have ran, I feel like, way more than he did.
Yes. There was some people were wondering if the Bears coaching staff told him, hey, don't run the rest of the game. Like, we want to see you pass. I mean, they're kind of tanking right now anyways.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I did read that we were in zone on 100% of plays on Sunday, too. So I think that was just kind of the way we were trying to slow him down.
Sure.
The other, not huge thing, but Chris Barnes was a healthy and active in this game after starting last week when Devondre was down, which is kind of weird. I think this is the first time he's been a healthy scratch since he started with the team, like his rookie year, because even as an undrafted guy, he was getting a lot of snaps. But It was, I mean, this is dumb. This is, again, me, you know, Disney fan brain. When Quay had that stop of Justin Fields on the sideline, you see Chris Barnes in the background in his, you know, winter jacket and shit jumping up in the air all excited. So still a team guy. Nice to see, but we'll see if we ship. He's best friends with Jordan Love, so we'll see if we ship both of those guys or they're playing for different teams next year.
Good to see not everybody was zenned out.
Yeah, exactly. Outside linebacker, nothing major really to talk about. JJ, you know, there again, there were no sacks. The only major thing that I saw was JJ Anagbare now leads all rookie defenders with a pass rush win rate of 16%. So
wow.
pretty fucking good for a fifth round draft pick who should be the third rotational guy next year as long as Preston's back on the team.
Wild.
Kenny Clark had one tackle for loss, seemed to have a solid bounce back game. And like, you know, Todd, you've been listening to the podcast the last few years. The December came out of hibernation, of course, the first December game for Kenny this year and bounced back. So hopefully we'll see more production from him.
He got a lot of rest in November. It was a lot of sleep. He was hibernating.
That's exactly what it was.
Now he's back.
That's what. See, I don't know why he didn't say that in earlier podcasts, because that's clearly what was going on. Then at the same time, I mean, I've been fucking harping on it all year. There's a lot of things to be upset with Joe Barry about, but once again, a super basic fucking thing that you would think wouldn't just help the team this year, but next year, perpetually, we have a terrible run defense. One of the big things you look at would be the defensive line. Here's the snap counts for the defensive line on Sunday. Kenny Clark, 39. Jerron Reed, 36. Dean Lowry, 26. TJ Slayton, 9. And Wyatt had 9 as well. It's like, can we, and Pro Football
Focus. Wyatt?
Yes, he was the top graded defender for the Packers, according to Pro Football Focus, and Slayton was the fourth highest. Obviously, that isn't everything, but they're both
young
guys.
I wonder how much, if coaches even care. But, I mean, stats are a lot more important now to coaches, I feel like. Any chance that they look at that and go, okay, like, I mean, they're doing their own grading, right? Like, their coaches, they do their own grading. They watch all the film anyway, right? But, like, hopefully they see it the same way and, like, let's give them a couple more snaps. I mean, it's not going to hurt anything.
But we've been saying this, like, all fucking year. Like, the last few weeks we've been saying it, and I don't know if it's as much a Joe Barry thing or a Montgomery thing. Jerry Montgomery, the defensive line coach, I believe it's Jerry. Because usually the positional coaches have say over who's out there. I know Ben Sturman's is kind of the guy who decides what running backs are out there, you know, the running back coach. So either way, I just don't – there's no fucking upside with Dean Lowry. There never has been. Dean Lowry made his biggest play of the year on Sunday, and it was on special teams when he blocked that kick, you know.
Special teamer, big time.
Yeah, I just – hopefully we'll see something, but whatever. Again, special teams, not too much to talk about. Dean had the nice block kick, which, I don't know, was pretty big at the time, but at the end of the day, it wasn't a huge deal. Keyshawn Nixon, still just a fucking madman.
He's awesome.
Yeah, you probably saw the quotes after the game, which was Keyshawn's worst return game as far as a kick returner goes, because he ran a couple out from like 7 yards deep.
Yeah.
And there was, I mean, I think there was like, there was probably at least 3 times he got stopped short of the 25, but I'm with Rodgers where I'm fine with him running it out most of the time. There was one where he ran it out when he was like 7-8 yards deep on that one. It's like, okay, sit on it. And it's one of those things too, where it's like his decision-making is suspect. We've kind of always known that. His best punt return on the year against the Titans, he picked up the ball when it was on the ground. Even, Rich Bisaccia has said his decision-making is the problem. And even at the end of the game, his decision-making, he got that pick, you know, to seal the game.
Yeah.
One, it was his first pick of his career. Okay.
Yep.
Two, it's the pick to seal the game for the Green Bay Packers having the most wins in the NFL. You know what he did? He got the ball. He threw it in the stands. That ball.
Oh, I did see that at the post game. He was like, yeah, I'd like to get that ball back.
Yeah, and it was like all Bears fans, too, for that game with how bad the Packers
have been. He's never going to get that ball back.
Never getting that ball back. I wonder what they'd pay up for it. But, again, just shows you how suspect his decision-making is. And
well, as long as he doesn't make the decision to have the ball bounce off his face mask, I mean, we'll be okay.
Literally. I mean, yeah. The first punt return he had this season, I think, was the one where he put his hands over his head to field it, and he was still better than Amari. So
he caught it.
I don't know.
Which is like, it was like a 50-50 drop rate for Amari. I mean, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. We'll see. It's funny, too, because even for how well he's done returning, the coaching staff still doesn't believe in him enough. Cobb had the one, that one punt return.
Yeah.
Anything where it's like that side of the field or where it's a decision by the end zone, it seems like we're going to have Cobb out there, but anywhere else it's Keyshawn Nixon. And it's like, can we just,
I just don't really, I don't love having Cobb back there. No, returning punts.
He muffed one last year too. When, and he's old.
I don't know. Yeah. He's old. It's like, let's get some young blood back there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just doesn't seem like the best use of Cobb, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. You got nothing really to lose with Keyshawn, and he's explosive. So,
yep.
Yeah. Well, with that, that's all we have for the game. So we will, we will come back with take news.
Football time. Take news.
All right, take news for the week. Obviously, with everything going shitty this year, there's been a lot of talk about Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love, obviously playing a little bit against the Eagles. Well, of course, Aaron Rodgers being who he is, he likes it when everyone talks about him. So post-game.
No.
Post-game, of course, towards the end, you know, everything's going well. He had to bring up, they're talking about his future and coming back to Chicago and all of that. And he's like, well, it's got to be a mutual decision or whatever, and alluded to them, you know, it's up to them if they want to bring him back. So, of course, everyone's talking about that. So, first, of course, like I've been doing pretty much every week this year, Goody talked to the media this week. And, of course, it's funny, too, because it's like, oh, cool, Goody's actually going to talk to the media. Apparently, there's a new rule this year that every GM has to talk at least once during the season. So, that's why he did it. But here's a clip of Jason Wilde. I believe it's Jason Wilde asking the question about Aaron Rodgers and the future going forward with him.
Brian, have you expressed to Rodgers that if he wants to play, that you want him back? I'm just trying to figure out why he would have said what he said yesterday.
Yeah, that's probably a better question for him. But no, we haven't really talked about those things. We don't talk about those things during the season very often. We just talk more about our team when we speak. Certainly that'll be something we get to when we get out. But, I mean, again, we went through something in the offseason where it was a very big commitment on our part. You know, it wasn't certainly for 1 year. So, but no, we don't – we really haven't any conversations about that stuff during the season.
So there was a couple interesting quotes. There wasn't a ton that came out of this presser, but we saw a couple of the clips. I did bring this up. I posted on Twitter because it was that clip right there. He had said very similar things. But the biggest sticking point with me was, you know, what we did this offseason wasn't for 1 year. Now, obviously, that could be bullshit. I still remember a week before the draft of when the whole Rodgers thing blew up, Wilde asked Goody, who was like, hey, what's the relationship like with you and Rodgers? Because Wilde knew shit was up. And Goody was like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. So clearly there's, you know, some media BS going on there, but Either way, there's been a lot of talk this year about Rodgers' contract and what are we going to do with him this offseason? Are we going to cut him? Are we going to trade him? Are we going to, you know, move on? What's going to happen with his contract and Jordan Love and all that? It seemed pretty open. And now after hearing from LaFleur and Rodgers kind of saying he'd want to come back as long as they want him, and now Goody saying that, it seems like Aaron Rodgers is going to, as long as he doesn't retire, be a Green Bay Packer next year. So
yeah,
that's one part of it.
That's where the money is too, right? Like if you look at his contract, isn't it, if you trade him, we still have the huge cap hit. If you cut him, we have the cap hit. If he retires, we have the cap hit.
Yeah.
Because it's guaranteed money. We've already paid him the money. Cap hit doesn't go with him. It doesn't go anywhere. Like it's all signs point to him being here. If you look at the contract. I mean,
yes. It's, you know, I don't know the exact number, but it's like 46 or 50 million if he ends up retiring. Sure. And either way, the other, because that was the whole thing, Rodgers pretty much wrote this contract. The other difficult part about it is even if he wanted to trade Aaron Rodgers, it would have to be one of those post June 1st type deals. So
we couldn't
benefit from this next year's draft by trading Aaron Rodgers. So it would be a future draft pick shit. So not very good unless you wanted to just, you know, trade him for players. That's unlikely. However, everyone's talked about that. The more interesting thing that I thought came out this week about the whole quarterback situation was something Jason Wilde said. So I'm a loser. Sometimes I listen to ESPN Milwaukee, and I'll see, you know, if Wilde's talking, because I think him and Tom Silverstein are the two most, you know, in guys as far as the Green Bay media goes. They don't just make up bullshit like Peter Bukowski and guys like that. Not like Bukowski's really.
He would never.
I hate him. Yes, I fucking. Anyways, love Wilde. He jumped on with Homer and Tony, another ESPN show, talking about he had a long conversation with Jordan Love on Friday or late last week before the game. And with COVID and stuff, Jason hadn't really talked to Jordan Love before. He said he had like a 25-minute conversation with him. I don't remember everything that's in this clip, but this was huge. And if Jason wanted to make this a bigger deal, it's more his opinion, but I will play this clip right here.
I had a really great conversation with Jordan on Friday afternoon, and I really was impressed with him. I think he very clearly does not, even though he wouldn't flat out say it, he does not want to sit for another year. So if we get to year four and Rodgers does come back, I am fairly confident that he will seek a trade.
So I thought that was huge. We've been so focused on Aaron Rodgers and when would we decide to go to Jordan Love? And it's like, we're not really thinking about what Jordan Love thinks. And this is kind of what we would have ran into if, you know, if Brett Favre wasn't so bad his last year with the Packers, or at least in that NFC Championship game, or if, you know, Rodgers didn't show up as much as he did. But Jason's essentially saying, and I don't, you know, he hasn't made any big deal about this. He could have tweeted about this or put together some big report where he thinks Jordan Love's going to ask for a trade, but yep, hasn't. So it really sounds like this offseason, you know, everyone's talking about, you know, perfect world, Aaron Rodgers comes back, we pick up that fifth-year option for Jordan Love, maybe Rodgers retires, and then we give it to Jordan Love. Well, it sounds like Jordan Love doesn't want to sit for 4 years, and he would probably demand a trade this offseason, which would be a little surprising, something that a lot of people haven't talked about. But, Todd, what do you think about the prospect of that for our offseason?
It's interesting. I have a question just on how the fifth-year option works, too. Is it like a tender where he can like deny it and like not sign it, or like is that something the team has full control since he's a first round pick?
I don't believe he has any say in that. There's different ways to go about it because the Packers could pick it up. I forget when they have to pick it up by, but if they were to trade him before the draft, I believe. Man, I'm trying to think of when it was with Darnell Savage and Gary last year. Either way, if we trade him away, then that team could decide to pick up his fifth-year option as well. So,
if we trade him, another team could then pick up the option.
Yes, and we could pick it up because that cap hit wouldn't happen because it isn't for next year. It would be for 2024. So even if it really doesn't hurt the Packers to pick up that option for whatever the $20 million it would be in 2024.
So with that, I guess it's interesting. I mean, I understand where he's coming from, too. Like, I'm sure he feels like he's ready to play. He's ready to go. I mean, he threw some nice balls at Philly.
He played well.
Yeah. I mean, so I feel like for him, I don't blame him at all wanting to do that. I don't really see Rodgers going anywhere. Rodgers doesn't – he wants to keep playing. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about with the contract, I mean, that's staying where it is. So really, the Packers either, you know, pick up the fifth-year option, make him sit another year, and then, okay – maybe in 2024, Rodgers is gone, and maybe the money looks better then, or maybe Rodgers is more just done at that point. Who knows? But yeah, Romeo Dubs, you got Christian Watson, are two really bright looking young wide receivers. And Rodgers has said that too. He's like, that might be the turning point. If these two young wide, I think he said it specifically. If these two young wide receivers,
that's what the Watson. Someone asked him about Watson if that would help him to stick around, and that's how he got into that quote that we opened up with. Yeah,
yeah. So I mean, that's, I don't really see Rodgers wanting to go anywhere, and the money is, it's going to hurt us if, I mean, regardless if Rodgers is there or not, we're paying him.
Right.
So it's really just whether or not, I mean, they could basically hold on to Jordan Love. They don't have to trade him, right? You can hold on to him.
But that's what's funny is, like, what if, and everyone's like, we love Jordan Love. And I like Jordan Love. It's like, he's a great kid. You know, he's a tough situation, but he's making the best of it.
Yeah.
it would be pretty funny if he turns into some type of almost villain this year, where all of a sudden, you know, we see on the ticker, Jordan Love demands trade from the Green Bay Packers. And it's like, oh, fuck. And what if he holds out? He very well could hold out and demand a trade. So it's funny how, and this will probably age poorly, but we're so looking or expecting a offseason of drama for will he, won't we, with Rodgers retiring. We know he's going to milk that. But the real drama might come from Jordan Love's side of the quarterback room. So.
Yeah, I guess I would. Where the season goes, you know, let's say we lose against, I don't know, the Rams, right? So then the season is all. I mean, it's over then, right? I mean, if we lose to the Rams, it's pretty much.
Pretty much.
Not mathematically.
I mean, I feel like we're gonna beat the Rams. They're so fucking Stafford's dead. Aaron Donald's dead. But yes. Either way.
Hypothetically, what do we got? 3 games after that. So yeah, we got
Miami, Vikings, Lions.
Vikings, Lions. So if Jordan Love, let's say hypothetically, plays for those 3 games, we really get to see what he is. You know, because I think a 3 game at the end of the season, you know, the Vikings.
Even
and,
two.
And Dolphins are good teams, right? So, yeah. And the Lions have been playing well, too. So, like, it'd be interesting to see where things go. And then I think you really have, if he plays really well, now you've really got controversy. Or you just say, well, have Rodgers. The money's, right. This is where our money's at. We can get something for Love. Let's trade him.
Yes.
And draft another quarterback. I don't know.
Right. It'll be interesting to see how this season finishes off because – once again, how we've kind of been thinking, at least myself, before this week is this is the showcase for Jordan Love. Are we going to go to him in the future? But now it's more like, I wonder if Goody, the next conversation he has with Rodgers is like, hey, dude, no, we got, dude, I know you want to play, but if we can have him go out against that shitty Vikings defense and that shitty Lions defense and look really good in our offense that he's been studying up in the last 3 years and then, and then we can trade him for like a first round pick or something. I mean, he probably wouldn't fetch that, but hypothetically, that's good. I mean, fuck.
Right. It's not bad to have multiple quarterbacks that are good on your team. I mean, if you have that going for you, and then we can leverage Love into some more picks or
If we could leverage him for some picks and then maybe in that 2024 draft, take the quarterback of the future. This 2023 draft doesn't sound like there's anyone.
Right.
Fantastic. Maybe the guy from Alabama, I think he might be up for it, but everyone else is kind of eh. But either way, gives us options. It's just there's been a lot of talk about the quarterbacks for this offseason, but we haven't heard too much of that. But we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yep. And with that, Todd, I'm sure you're going to love this. We'll have to see how you do. Is Kyle an idiot?
I'm not an idiot.
Okay. You sure?
Yes.
All right, is Kyle an idiot for the week? Todd, you have never answered any of these questions, so you're 0 for 0. How have you done in the past listening to them? I guess Kyle's were probably more difficult than what Andrew has had. But
yeah, I would say I did better on Andrew's, and I would say I was probably more even with Kyle on his. You know, some of the later, you know, you go back in time a little bit, not going to be there for me. So more recent ones I got a better shot at.
Very fair. Very fair. Well, let's kick things off. Todd, there's been a lot of talk with how bad the Packers have been this year. A lot of dumb fans, you know, you and I, we've talked about this.
Yep.
Want us to tank. They're only looking forward to the draft. Those dumb-dumbs. Well, I guess we'll do that for a second here. Todd, who was the last non-QB offensive player to be drafted in the first round by the Green Bay Packers?
The most recent one?
Yep. Not a quarterback. An offensive player.
I'm feeling like it's a tackle.
Who's to say?
Who's to say? You could say. I'm just gonna say Brian Bulaga.
Ooh, very close. I believe that's 1 year off. It is Derek Sherrod. Yes.
I was thinking about Derek Sherrod too, but I was like, I thought Bulaga was after Sherrod.
It is tough. Derek Sherrod drafted in 2010 after the Packers won the Super Bowl. Brian Bulaga 2010 after we won the Super Bowl. Derek Sherrod 2011. Okay. And yes, he really shitty career for him, unfortunately. Do you remember? So that training camp, his rookie year, you know, he should have been a tackle, but for whatever reason, we were trying him out at guard. Do you know who he competed against at guard and who beat him out?
Did he compete against TJ Lang?
Yep, TJ Lang beat him out. They were both going at guard, and at least we found a competent guard at that spot there. But
TJ is awesome.
Yeah, very, very good. And then Derek Sherrod broke his leg, and unfortunately,
oh, that's right. He's a big dude too, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think Mississippi State. Yeah, he's a pretty big dude, right. And I think he had multiple surgeries after he broke his leg the first time. So kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, bringing the vibes up.
Well, style points for knowing it was a tackle.
Right? Yeah. Well, God, I think before that, before Belaga, is it, I think it's Javon Walker. And then maybe Bubba Frank. Well, Aaron Rodgers, Bubba Franks, whatever. We don't have to go down that that road there. All right, 0 for 2. Very good. Todd. Ooh, uh-oh. Get it, because he's bad.
Yeah, wait. But 0 and 2. No, 0 for 1.
0 for 1. Sorry, this is the second one. Second one, Todd. What two QBs played against Rodgers in his first start against the Bears in 2008? Two quarterbacks.
2008.
I'll give you a clue. Don't overthink it.
Okay, so it's his first. So 2008, Jay Cutler is one of them.
I will tell you.
Am I getting confirmation?
You're already wrong. But we'll let you rebuttal. This won't count. But who are the other two that you would have to think here? I think 2008, maybe 2005. The Bears were in the Super Bowl.
Oh God. Well, who did the Bears trade for? Was it Jake Plummer?
No, Jake Plummer was in Denver. I don't think they ever traded for him. These are two.
It was not a trade.
I'm telling you, you're thinking too hard.
Really? Okay.
The two next quarterbacks that should come to mind for that era.
I'm blanking here.
All right.
Why don't you tell me? I don't know. I'm sure I'm gonna feel dumb.
Sexy Rexy, Rex Grossman, and Kyle Orton.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I think Rex Grossman got banged up, but yeah. I mean, that's a while ago. It was still almost 15 years ago at this point. So,
what was the? Didn't Rex Grossman play two? And that was a three quarterback cycle when we played them in the NFC Championship game.
It wasn't Rex. That was Jay Cutler, Chad Henne.
And then who was the third quarterback that came in and almost?
Chad Henne's the one who almost did it, but it was McCown. Okay. It was one of the McCowns. Oh. I don't know if it was Josh or
so it would have been
Luke McCown.
McCown was in, came in second
for like a series, and then got hurt.
And he got hurt, yeah. And then it was Henne. Yeah.
And then he got picked off by B.J. Raji.
Oh, true. Yep. Okay.
All right. 0 for 2.
Ooh. 0 for 2. This is good. Good start.
All right. Hot start. Last one here. Todd, who did Al Harris play for after getting cut by the Green Bay Packers? There are two teams, but there should be one that comes to mind.
Think of
a long touchdown Jordy Nelson scored.
Against Al Harris?
Yep. At Lambeau Field for this other team. God, maybe you don't remember. Okay. Maybe I'm thinking you're smarter than you are.
Yeah, I'm definitely an idiot. Yeah. Two teams he played for?
Yep.
I'm going to say the Raiders.
Ooh. It is an R word, not the slur R word. It is the Rams. Rams was the number one. That was Jordy kind of ended Al Harris's career on like an 80-yard touchdown where he just ran right by him and Al fell over. Yeah, then he also played for the Miami Dolphins.
So I'm most disappointed about the first question. I should have got that one right. The second one, I'm still a little disappointed, but the third one, I'm not surprised.
That's fair. I mean, sometimes things that I remember are blind spots for other people, so very, very understandable. But
yeah, 2008 was like a long time ago.
Yeah, too, no, it's a very good. It's a very good point. Yeah, it's more than like 5 years ago at least. So,
well, 10. Yeah, yes. Okay.
With that, we don't really have too much else to talk about.
Do I get to ask you a question now?
Do you have one?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay, the Stump Spenny. All right. Hit me with it.
Okay. So, the Indian Packing Company, which had funded Lambeau's venture.
Uh-huh.
So, when he was, coming up with the Packers, right?
Yep.
They were offered sponsorship rights. But who came up with the idea of naming the team the Green Bay Packers? But who actually is like credited with naming the team? Because it wasn't Curly.
It wasn't Curly.
It wasn't curly. I was like, oh, this is really interesting.
So what is, will you give me a hint? Like, is it a player or?
It was not a player.
Not a player.
And you don't have to get this person's name.
Yeah.
Specifically, but.
God. I don't know. I mean, just like a shot in the dark, I would say like the mayor of Green Bay or something, but what was it?
It was Curly Lambeau's girlfriend.
Oh, really?
Agnes Aylward.
Oh, what a beautiful name. When's the last time Agnes was born?
It's probably been a while. She might have been the last one.
God, that's funny. It is unreal when you look at like the history of these little things that like shaped the history of the Green Bay Packers. Yes. Like literally his girlfriend. Wow, how creative too. Like, oh, why don't you just shorten it to the Packers?
Well, so there's a quote is in here. There's part of it is, well, for heaven's sake, Curly, why don't you just call them the Green Bay Packers?
Oh, apparently. What was it? Agnes? Oh, Agnes.
Oh, Agnes.
Why don't you just name them the Packers?
Well, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty good shit. Well, God, Agnes, I don't even want to go back. Do you remember way back in the day, one of the bye week bonanza episodes, the first starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, what his first name was?
No idea.
Adolph.
Oh, wow.
Not very good. I guess timely Kanye being a terrible person, yeah.
When was he around though?
I believe that was before 1920. So that was like the 1919 Packers. He was like the first quarterback to start for the team. And I don't even think he finished the game at quarterback. Yeah. So, but yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Stump Spenny question. Always fun to jump back in the history of the Green Bay Packers. I like how you're like, don't ask me history questions. And you literally couldn't have gone further back in Packers history for mine.
The name of the Packers. Yeah.
But, with that, the last thing to talk about before going into the bye week is the playoffs. Just figured we'd touch on this lightly. Playoffs? Sunday actually hurt us. That tie with the Commies and the Giants, I believe,
that the only way that we could have, that only way that that game could have hurt us was if they ended in a tie and?
Yeah.
Ended in a tie.
Pretty much. Because, you know, we really wanted one team to lose and then to continue to root for that team to lose going forward. Obviously, that didn't happen.
Oh, sure.
Yep. So I think going into the Bears game last week, we had a 46% chance if we went out. We now have like a 38% chance if we went out. So not looking good. We basically just need to root against the Seahawks, Giants, and Commies going forward. We overall have a 4% chance, I think, to make the playoffs. So we just, we got a lot of things need to go well for us, but God, it's like I've said to you in the past, it's like, fuck, if we just didn't have Amari return punts, we probably would have had, had just one more win this season, we'd have some hope now. So just to send us into the bye week, I guess those are the teams that we should be rooting against. But
you said it was who, the Giants,
Commies, and Seahawks for the most part. And I guess the Lions too, but we play them. So as long as we beat them we should be a little bit better, but yeah.
And basically, if we lose a game, it's pretty much done.
That's the thing. I don't want to say best case scenario, but I wouldn't be upset if we beat the Rams, lose to Miami in Miami, Rodgers benches himself, gets benched or whatever, and then we see Jordan Love for the last two games. I'd be fine with that.
You think he'll bench himself? You think he'd be, I mean, there'd be a conversation, obviously, between him and the floor, but, like, you think he'd be a little sour about it if they were mathematically still?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Once we're mathematically out, I think we'll be good. I think, you know, once if we lose against Miami, I think it's pretty much over. So, and like he said a week or two ago, he knows it's a business. And like I said, you know, during Take News or whatever, Goody can get in his ear and be like, hey, dude, if we can, the more we see of Love or other teams can see of Love, the better chance we'll have of, you know, getting something good for you going forward. So
maybe he has a Matt Flynn game against the Lions in week 18.
Ooh, there you go. Maybe. Wow. See, that's good. I like that. You might be the first person. Well, someone else has probably said it, but that's a good take to get out there ahead of time.
Yeah, maybe he has a big game against the Lions and off you go to Seattle.
There you go. There we go. And then we can watch the playoffs and hopefully watch the Vikings lose in the first round because they're an overrated fucking shitbag. If we can beat, how great would it be if Jordan Love, fuck, it would be cool if the Vikings are still playing for something.
Beat the Vikings? If Jordan Love beat the Vikings?
If Jordan Love beats the Vikings, fucks up their playoff spot a little bit, and then the next year we even ship Love away, and it's like, God, you guys fucking lost to Jordan Love, who's starting for the Texans? Wow, you guys really fucking suck.
I want him to do great, but like, how funny would it be if it was like a similar situation to like the Matt Flynn situation where he has a huge game, we ship him off, you know, trade him away or whatever. Do we trade Flynn away, or did we get anything for him?
No,
did he just walk?
He just walked. There was
that
talk.
That was for himself. He got a big contract.
There was talk about franchise taking him and then trading him away, but no, he did just walk and sign with the Seahawks. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't know. It'll be weird if or when Jordan Love plays for another team, because it's like, I want him to do okay, and that is it. I don't want him to be like, fuck, why didn't we just keep him around?
If we keep him, I want him to be amazing. If he walks or trade or whatever ends up happening, then it's like,
yeah.
I hope you make some money.
Yeah, there we go. Hot take of the year. Be great for us or okay elsewhere.
Yeah. Be good enough.
Yeah. But with that, that's all we have for this week's episode. If you want, you could resubscribe. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, tell some friends about the stupid podcast. You want a koozie?
Steal someone's phone and subscribe on their phone.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Grab your wife's phone. Do it that way. Leave a 5-star rating. And if you want, just DM us on Twitter. Fuck, I keep forgetting to send the goddamn koozies out. DM us on Twitter. Give us your address and we can send you a free koozie with the podcast logo on it, or email us at pmppodcast@gmail.com. But, yeah, that's it. That's all I have. Todd, you got anything?
How about the jersey? How about the jersey? Is the jersey...
Jersey's up? No, we gave that away. Well, fuck, it's still behind me. I still need to send it to the guy who won like a month ago.
Okay.
Hopefully he can get it for Christmas. But yeah, there is a winner for the big dog jersey. So, I don't know. Maybe
congrats.
We'll have some other... Yeah, congrats, grad. but with that, I don't have anything else. Todd, do you have anything else?
I do not.
Great. Well, with that, Eric Koskinen, please... Don't sue us.
Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah, cause it just won't pay. I worked all year, I worked all month. Then they took my money away. Yeah, well now I don't care. Cause they ain't working like me down here. I said, hey now, little baby, I'm going deeper down in debt. Yeah, honey, I ain't leaving yet. I got a six-pack of beer and a pack of cigarettes. Yeah. You can take the job or shove it. Cause I ain't working here no more.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.